The subject began last Sunday, and it's been a subject on my mind for quite a bit. It's about drifting away from the Lord. And one of the things that I want to show you, and I pointed this out last week, go ahead and show D.A. Carson. He had a thing which I really agree with, because he's a scholar. D.A. Carson stated, he said, people do not drift toward holiness. Now, we just sang a song that said that we have to hold on to Jesus, otherwise we could be drifting like a ship without a sail. And what he's saying here is people don't drift toward holiness, they drift the opposite direction. And he says, apart from grace, a grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to the Scripture. They don't gravitate to faith, and they don't delight in the Lord. And so this is D.A. Carson saying this. And then I'm going to give you a shortened version of what John MacArthur, he's the pastor of Grace Church. Next screen, please. Pastor John MacArthur. He said, drifting is so quiet, so easy, oh, but look at these words, but so damning that all you need to do is to do nothing. If you don't work at being part of the fellowship, like Marcia was talking about, if you don't work at it, if you don't put some effort into following the Lord, when Jesus said, to his disciples, take up your cross. Do you think that's an easy thing to do? It isn't. To them, they knew what that meant. That probably was a death sentence. So when he said, take up your cross and follow me, that was going to be a very difficult thing to do. And that's what he's telling us to do. It's very difficult. So our main scripture that I want to go through, and it's going to be used in all of the series, would be Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Now, I'm going to read it to you in two different translations there, so that you would get the gist of it. So in the King James Version, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed, okay, so we really must listen to the things which we have heard, you know, and not just listen, but let them enter into our mind, because lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, what that means is, we have a saying, oh, it slipped my mind. Well, it just kind of floated on by. That's what that Greek word, to let them slip, means. Let's read it in the New International Version as well. Same scripture. It says here, we must pay more careful attention, okay, therefore, to what we have heard, so that us, as Christians, do not drift away. And you can leave that scripture up there until we move on. And so there's an example of, and I don't know the guy's name, but I've actually seen it a couple of times. Have you ever seen anybody on the highway, especially a four-lane highway, and usually with a median in between, that somebody's driving on the wrong side of the road going the wrong direction? Have you seen that? Boy, I have. We almost got hit head on once, but it's happened so often. People's minds either get preoccupied or they get it off on other things. They let whatever, and they're drifting away, and all of a sudden they're going down the wrong direction. And that's kind of what this message, this part two message, is all about. It's that we are preoccupied. Okay, this drifting occurs because of our a lot of times because of the way we think. Now, we learned in Bible study, it's in Ephesians chapter 4, I don't remember exactly what verse, actually it was verse 23, and it said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, but we get preoccupied with the busyness of life. Yes, we do lose people, we lose loved ones. Things change, but sometimes it's not just that. Sometimes we may have situations that crop up, like we lose a job or change jobs, and now it's a whole new environment. and we get away from the Lord because we're so focused, so preoccupied on that. And sometimes it's just television. Believe it or not, I don't know if it's so much that anymore. But I was reading some studies on television, and it was saying about how kids watch a certain number of hours of television every day, and then by the time they're, 18 or whatever, they've invested like 9 years of watching television. Can you imagine? Or maybe not 9 years, but it's years of watching television. Maybe it's in our lifetime. Maybe that's what it was talking about. But it doesn't have to be television anymore. If I go home, my grandkids, they're always on the YouTube. Okay, so they're on YouTube and they're watching some kind of show that they like. It's a Disney type show, I think, that I'm not always too fond of anyway, the stuff that they do, but that's what they do. They watch a lot of video. And so we can get caught up in that as well. Social media. Okay, that's part of this thing that just occupies our time, but it's not fruitful. Does that make sense? It's not fruitful. We got a lot of things that occupy our time, but it's not fruitful. And because of that, we're not being built up in the Lord. We drift. Slowly but surely, we start drifting further and further away from the Lord. So what are we filling our minds with? Oh, it could be anything. Television. It could be radio. Or it could be other things. I mean, it's just a matter of what you fill your mind. But James had something he had to say about this. And by the way, this is just one of the dangers, is your thoughts. A lot of the battles for temptation or for other things is fought and won in your mind. It's amazing to think about that, but it's your thoughts. And so you have to take a look at what James said. Okay, not only be renewed in the spirit like Paul had said, but James in chapter 1 and verse 14, he said this, but every man is tempted. Okay, think about this. Every man, every person is tempted when he is drawn away. Look at those two words. Things out here, whatever my cravings might be, I know it says the word lust. Every time you see the word lust, a lot of people think sexual. It's not always that. It's anything that I crave. Does that make sense? Anything that I crave that I don't have, that I would do whatever it takes to get it, that is what can draw me away. So when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The devil holds that little carrot out for you. Hey, Earl, hey, if you just work a little more, you can have this. You know, he dangles this carrot out before each and every one of us. And so every man is tempted when he's drawn away. So keep that in mind, every man. All right, what's the problem with that? So what? Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. You see this method? First, it's conceived in your head. It brings forth sin. In other words, it exits your body somehow. You actually commit the act or do whatever. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do you see the danger of drifting? Do you see the danger of drifting with your, even with your thoughts? Okay, your thoughts can captivate you and take you in a completely, completely different direction. So you might be thinking, well, I can't control my thoughts. Well, that's where we pray to be, I think it was in Romans maybe, or one of the other ones, where he's talking about be ye transformed. Okay, don't conform to this world. This world, and my goodness, all the PC correctness in this world, I don't even know what to call people nowadays, okay? And if you call people by their wrong pronoun, they'll jump down your throat for it. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Everybody's got a different pronoun. He, she, them, they, you know, whatever. I don't know how to address some people. I still say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, that kind of thing. I only know of two genders, and that's what I stick with. But, buddy, when you say the wrong one, you are in for it. This world does not have your best interest at heart. Yeah, you may have some people who are saying, hey, follow me, come follow me. Well, Psalms tells us, blessed are those who don't stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. And there's more. There's more to it. But anyway, there's a remedy. There's a remedy. One is to be transformed. Who can do that? Jesus Christ. The only one who can do that is Jesus Christ. He can transform our heart. And is it going to be a battle? Yes. Every day there's a battle. There's always this battle of drifting away. But here's the remedy. Okay, so there's a remedy to reduce these mental distractions. You have to think about the right things. Let's look at Philippians 4 and 8 up here. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and sometimes you have to search for the truth, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, okay? That can also be fair. Things are fair. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. So he gives us a whole list of things. And if there be any virtue, okay, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Say that with me. Think on these things. So Paul has given us a long list from Philippians, no less. He's in jail. I know we studied Ephesians. He's in jail with that one too when he wrote that. But Philippians, he's in jail, not sure if he's going to come out alive. And what's he saying to think about? Things that are pure, lovely, good report, just, honest, true. He's saying, think on these. And so rather than let his mind get detracted by the fact that he's in jail and that he could lose his life, I don't know what other men on death row think about. I've not had a chance really to talk to one. But somebody on death row has a lot of time on their hands to think. I don't know what they think about. Paul gives us a whole list of things to think about. And so I want you to take this and absorb it, digest it, and understand it. If you have to, go back and read it multiple times. But it will help, because sometimes when thoughts will enter into your head, especially the kind you know that aren't fruitful, aren't helpful, and again, I'm not talking about anything of a sexual nature. I'm talking about sometimes it could be just of a hateful nature. Okay, when those kind of thoughts enter into your head, regardless of where it came from, get rid of it. Get rid of it. How do you do it? By thinking on these kinds of things. Okay. The goal, folks, is to give people the benefit of the doubt. So when you feel like you've been slighted, you've been hurt, or whatnot, think of what maybe they're going through. Maybe there's something they're going through that you don't understand yet. Trust me. Sometimes, as a grandparent, I'm sure everybody in here probably knows, you might spout off to one of your kids who they're really not doing anything bad. It's just that they're annoying sometimes. Anybody got any annoying grandchildren? Well, they can be. They can be. And it's not that they're doing anything specifically to annoy you. It's that they are hitting you at a bad time. So maybe you just received some bad news, or you're doing something that's really important to you, and you feel like that's a distraction, that's an interruption. Well, all of a sudden these thoughts come out, and sometimes it actually comes out in the form of words that can be hurtful. And it's those kind of things we want to try to prevent. So that's just the first one. And I'm going to go through one more, and we'll close. You can also be drifting because of disobedience. And we don't think about that often. A lot of times we really don't think about that. Well, maybe I'm disobeying the Lord. Interesting, because just to give you an illustration, it was on June 8, 1982, it said a plane takes off from Sao Paulo, Brazil. I've actually been there when we did a network installation. And it was a normal flight, and wherever he was headed to, it didn't say, but wherever he was headed to, he could see the lights of the city very clearly. And so rather than rely on his instruments and whatnot, he decided to rely on his own instincts, okay? He relied on his own instincts because he thought the brightness of the city was plenty enough guidance for him to be able to land that plane safely. The problem was he was relying on his own instinct. He was supposed to be flying at a level 5,000 feet of clearance so that he could land his plane safely. Well, he was warned twice by the altimeter, I think is what they called it, but here it just simply says altitude instrumentation. He was told twice to pull up. He ignored it. And even his co-pilot told him, because he heard the same warnings, to pull up. His co-pilot told him to pull up. He ignored it. And so what was the result of that? Well, the plane crashed into the side of a mountain 2,500 feet less than what he should have been, right into the side of a mountain. And 137 people total lost their lives, all because he disobeyed everything he was taught to not disobey. Now, we shudder at these kind of stories. In fact, I think one of the worst things, I don't know if y'all have seen many of them, but when I watch certain videos, some of the social media that I follow, they release these police body cams. Have y'all noticed all the shootings that's been happening? All kinds of shootings going on. Well, usually in order to quell the public, because the public, it seems, wants to riot at the drop of a hat, you know, they want to riot because they themselves judge immediately whether somebody deserved or not to get shot. And so they have to release the body cams. And so what you see on those body cams can be horrific. You see this actual situation as it's taken place. Now, granted, you're getting one point of view, but sometimes you'll get even another point of view from another police officer in the same situation. You'll get another point of view. You'll see that gun, that knife, or that whatever that was being used, even though you might not have seen it at first, because I know people out there with their cell phones are recording everything. And they say there was no weapon. Well, and then you see a body cam and you can see the weapon clearly. Well, and then the police have to defend whomever. The most recent one that I saw was the body cam of where a 13-year-old girl, of all things, a 13-year-old girl was going to stab someone. And the police, I think, had his gun on her, but she ended up stabbing the person. I don't know if she was critical, but she stabbed the person, and when that happened, the police opened fire. Well, guess what? Now they're rioting. Some places, they're rioting over that. They call it protesting, peaceful protesting. Well, when you're burning down buildings and breaking windows and things like that and stomping on police cars, I don't consider that peaceful protesting. But the thing is, we see this, and we wonder why? Why is it so hard? People who get stopped in vehicles. Now, you might think, well, wait a minute. Yeah, you know, there's all this racism and there's all this other stuff that's going on. One guy, God bless him, he actually was filming himself. I saw this. He was filming himself. He was a black guy, or African American, whatever you prefer. He was a black guy. And before the police got to his door, he said, folks, he said, I want you to watch how this works. He kept his hands on the steering wheel, and the policeman knocked on his window and asked him to roll down the window. And the guy did. He took one hand and he rolled down the window, but he kept his hands in view the whole time, the whole time. And he was polite to the officer, and he asked the officer, he said, yes, could you tell me what I did wrong? And the officer said, he said, you ran a stop sign back there. He said, I listened to him talk. The guy said that he didn't see it, but he didn't mean to run the stop sign. And the cop said, well, I believe you. He said, I just wanted to stop you and warn you. And that was it. Case closed. The guy got to go on his way, and the cop went home to his wife. No, there was none of this reach behind and grab a gun and then come out and then where the cop had to take his life. No, that happens far too often. It's when we disobey the rules. And you might say, well, there are no rules in Christianity. Of course there is. Of course there is. There are sins that will put you in hell right now if you're not careful. There are sins out there. Now, you might think that's an odd way to express it. Well, sometimes things aren't necessarily a sin. They're just not good for you. Okay? They're not necessarily a sin. They're just not good for you. But the thing is, Benjamin Franklin had something to say. I wanted to quote this because when I read this, I thought, oh my, how on the dot did he hit it? Benjamin Franklin said this. He said, how many observe Christ's birthday? ! We all do, right? We observe Christmas. We love Christmas. How many observe Christ's birthday? But then he says, how few his precepts. In other words, his commands. How few of us really follow what Jesus says. So I want to end it on this. John 14:23. Jesus said it very succinctly, okay? I mean, if you miss this, you've really missed a lot. But here's two verses we're going to read. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, this is how we know we love Christ, by the way, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come, notice that, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We're going to live with him. Isn't that wonderful news? But there's a condition to it. I want God to live with me, but there's a condition. Go back to the previous verse, please. The condition is keep my words. How do we know what Jesus said? We open our book and read it. Folks, if somebody becomes a new convert, where are you going to steer them? I steer them to the Gospels. I say, read the Gospels. Why? Because that's where you're going to find the words that Jesus said. Most of it. You find it in a few other places, but most of it's in the Gospels. Some in Revelation, some in the letters of Paul. But there's a condition that if you love Jesus Christ, you will keep his words. So we have to read to see what words. So not only are we in danger of drifting because of our thoughts, we're in danger of drifting because we don't keep his words. We're disobedient. We're disobedient. And he says, my Father will love him, talking about any one of us who keeps the words of Christ. And then he says, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We will live with this man. Because why? Because he is following me. That's what it means to be a Christ follower, by the way. If you're following Jesus Christ, you're going to keep his words. And it takes the Holy Spirit inside of you to help you do this. You cannot, and I reiterate that, you cannot do it under your own power. The Jewish people tried to do this. They could not follow the law. They just were not capable. That sin nature that was in them did not allow them to. But when the Holy Spirit, when Jesus Christ died for us, rose again, and the Spirit was given to man, we can follow His words. We don't have to be like James said. James said, when sin enters into your mind, or when it's conceived, and then it brings forth sin, and at the end of it is death. But why? The wages of sin is death, it says in Scripture. All right, verse 24. But notice he says the opposite. He says the opposite here, right after he just got through saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. But he that loves me not. Has anybody ever played that game with the flower? He loves me, he loves me not. Boy, that's old school, isn't it? You know, if I saw that I was getting to the he loves me not, I'd throw that flower away, and then I'd grab me a new one, and I'd start all over. Okay, so I always wanted to make sure Deronda loved me at the end. But notice what Jesus is saying. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. In other words, we disobey. We disobey. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. In other words, he's talking about the word that Jesus himself gives, that he commands of us. He's saying it's not his, but it comes from the Father which sent him. That's an interesting conundrum, right? I don't know if anybody in here is a oneness person, but do with it what you will. I didn't write the words. The word is, the word that you hear is not coming from Jesus himself, but the Father's which sent him. So folks, I just went over two dangers. The dangers of your thoughts, how we can get preoccupied and we can move on away from Jesus without even realizing it. Just like I spoke last week when those expedition people went to the Arctic, and they thought they were going to travel further north, and the more they walked, the more they realized they were traveling south, because they finally discovered they were on an ice floe. They were drifting without even knowing it, further south, going in the opposite direction. And so the thing is, we can be drifting and going away in our thoughts, we could be drifting away from Christ. We can get to the point where we don't even think about Christ. I think the day that I really had a wake-up call was when I went through most of the day, and I think I may have even gotten home, I can't remember, and then I realized, it hit me hard. It says, you never even prayed today. And I thought to myself, oh no, I never prayed. I never prayed for anyone, I never prayed for myself, I never even thanked the Lord for waking me up for the day. You think it's not easy, you think it's not easy to drift? It is. You can get so preoccupied with life, with work, with situations, and everything else going on. Good stuff, bad stuff, I don't care. It's all that stuff can distract you, and it will invade your thoughts. And Marsha, I like what you said. It can take you down to a dark place. It can take you down to a dark place. And that's the thing. It can take you away from Jesus Christ. And then we're also drifting because of our disobedience. We don't get into the Word. And this is something I know, and I need to work on it as a more of a habit, is getting into the Word and anchoring myself in the Word. You have to understand, at my age, it's difficult. I'm trying to memorize Scripture. Okay, the problem is, I can memorize it, and it lasts for a few days, and then when I move on to another one, I've already forgotten my other. So it's tough. And I'm trying to train my brain to memorize Scripture, and I'm asking God to help me to do this so that I can have it at the tip of my fingers and know it. But I want you to think on these things. Paul gives us quite a list to think about for our thoughts. But then Jesus said, if you love him. So the question to you tonight is, do you love Jesus? You don't have to raise your hand, because I'll be able to tell whether or not if you're keeping his words just by watching. Same for you to me. You can tell if I keep his words or not just by watching. Think on those things. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that you have given. And Lord, I pray for every soul in here that if they have a need, Lord, let them come for prayer. Let them come for prayer, Lord, because God, I know you can do amazing things. And Lord, I pray that you would move upon this audience tonight. And God, that you would show them the dangers of drifting with our thoughts and with disobedience. And God, that you would help us to come back to you, to be drawn to you, like the scripture or like the song we just sang. Without you, we'd be drifting like a ship without a sail. And boy, is that true. And so, Lord, keep us anchored in the Word. Keep us anchored in you, so that you and the Father will abide in us. We ask in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.